Okay, we are in Klaus Samach Vav, Hilchas Bishalakum. I believe Ois Vav. Correct? Okay, somebody had pointed out to me that in my print, the word Nachri is missing all over the place. Like at the beginning of Samach Vav, is the Davashe Bishlai Nachri, the way it starts, my print doesn't have the word Nachri. This is Davashe Bishlai, Afilu Beis Rishlai Yisrael. It's interesting that they were so sensitive to the censors. The Gaish the censors read Chochmas Adam? Like, Gemara, I understand.
Every book that was published there.
The Gaish censors or the Jews themselves took it out so not to antagonize?
But that means they felt the Gaim were going to catch it. They were going to read it.
Self-censorship.
Sometimes it was self-censorship, sometimes it was not. But okay, Vav. We're talking now a follow-up to what we learned last time. We learned last time the two major exceptions to Bishul Akum are Davash Nechel Chai, something edible raw like water or an apple. There's no Dim Bishul Akum. And Eidei Al-Shulchan Malachim, things like jelly beans, that there's no Al-Shulchan Malachim. Now, Vav says, Erev, if someone combined, he mixed Davar Nechel Kamei Shul Chai and Davash Eidei Nechel, a combination of a food that could be eaten raw and cannot be eaten raw. Think of something.
Yeah.
For example, I don't know. What do you mix broccoli with?
Apple added fresh apples to it.
Fresh apples.
That he did. And he added more blueberries.
It's broccoli in his chowd. So the broccoli part is nechel chai and the chowd part is... Carrots and beets. Okay. Peas and carrots, that's right. Peas and carrots. Carrots eaten raw, peas not eaten raw. They are eaten raw. You eat peas raw, I don't eat peas raw.
But
okay, you do. You eat peas raw?
Some people can eat
peas raw, that's right. They're very good, okay. Okay, someone who doesn't like cake thinks that green peas are very good. Anyway, somebody who makes something that's eaten raw, something that's not, as lina basar ikr. Chenim osa hagai panada, ratzolayma. Shemimalim pas, they fill a dough, im shuman, with fat, va'oifin betana, some type of knish, that has fat inside, and they, the fleshiger, what do they call it, quiche, that has a dough that's folded, and it has got, it's got meat inside, or whatever it might be. What?
Ravioli,
they just put a tomato sauce and cheese, yeah. I mean something like a knish. It's got potatoes inside, or it's got meat inside.
Kreppel.
Kreppel. Okay, so, vaifim bitaner, kreppel hakok, but if you take it and bake it in an oven, mi kemach shalai, the makemach Yisrael, if it's a Jew's kemach, who kipas Yisrael, sha'af agai, the blav hachiyasar. We mentioned once that in a Jewish store, or a Jewish home, it's worse when a guy bakes it. A guy bakes it in a guy's place, it could be a bas palter. In a Jew's place, if the guy bakes it, that's worse. That would be usher anyway. So even if you make this kreploch or whatever it is by a guy, afabisha kemachiker, even though the dough is the main part, ubamakim shemut alechol pas guy, in a place where you're allowed to eat pas of a guy, this should be mutter. If the filling is something which is bishalakum, either uncooked meat, uncooked fats, or fats of fish, you're cooking the filling, and that becomes aser, and then it becomes absorbed in the bread, and then the bread is aser. Avol, offa bishuman shekvar nisbashal, they Israel, mutter. A knish is made that way. A knish, they cook the potatoes first. Mm-hmm. And after they cook the potatoes, they put it as a filling into the knish.
A lot of people, they do that too. They can't cook it fresh. It should be raw when they put it into the crepe.
Okay, could be that you cook the meat first, okay. Then it's mutter because then that was cooked by a Jew. Avamine tigon, but things that are fried, also la'aylam, mishum bishulam. Because a dough is only passed, only had to pass part of it's baked. Mm-hmm. If you have a fried blintzes, these are blintzes, are fried, right?
Yeah.
So if you fry it, then, even the dough part is aser, so then you're in trouble. There's no had to pass part by a either if it's baked and the filling is not dough, even if it's baked and the filling is meat, or if it's dough but it's fried, so also the rules of Bishul apply, there's no heter of Pasach. So, okay, the only heter would be, as I told you last time, the Knish is not Eilal Shulcha Balachim. If you hold that it's not Eilal Shulcha Balachim, I think I told you, Rabelski held that the large Knishes are not Eilal Shulcha Balachim, and there's no way to Bishul Akum. And the small Knishes that they walk around, at a fancy smorgasbord, they walk around on a tray. I don't know why only the Knishes and the Frankfurters, they walk around with it. So that is Eilal Shulcha Balachim. It's a delicacy. It's more of a,
is it possible?
But the problem is the Bishul. The problem is the problem is not the pas, it's the Bishul. There's no heter pas palter on the cooked pot. Right? Pas palter is a heter on the baked pot, but on the cooked pot, which is the potatoes. If you don't cook potatoes, you don't get a knish. You have to cook potatoes, and then you put it. So if that potato is cooked by a guy, I recall this, Rebelski. How do you remember?
I thought that potatoes
are considered El Shulchan
Aruch. What's that? No, Rebelski had a different reason.
If the potato was made to be filled into a knish, so it goes by what it was made to be filled into, I think.
What about the French fries that they make?
French fries are not al shulchan malachim, are they? I wouldn't serve French fries at a fancy
restaurant. The story, you were not allowed to serve potatoes.
Really?
You're not allowed to have mashed potatoes. That was not considered a...
Don't they make like a half a potato with some mashed stuff on it? It's like it's a fancy...
Not in the Waldorf.
Not in the Waldorf.
Okay. That's where the President of the United States
says. Now today it might change. It might change today. But
and the general consensus is that there is Bishul Akum on potatoes. I mean, the whole tumult about potato chips is predicated on the assumption that on whole potatoes there's Bishul Akum. Yeah. The shaila is potato chips included or not? But, but potatoes, the assumption usually is, maybe it doesn't have to be a Waldorf Shulchan Malachim. Maybe it's enough for a Flatbush Shulchan Malachim. You know, a significant meal. I don't know. A Teres Avraham is also a Shulchan Malachim.
You had a steak dinner. That wouldn't be the things that they would serve. And that's what Shulchan Malachim
is. What do they serve at a steak dinner?
What?
What's a side dish at a steak dinner?
The President of the United States.
So what does he have for a side dish?
What? They hold the side
dishes.
Foie gras.
Foie gras.
They have vegetables. There are certain things that
we have. Okay, I'll have to check it out when they invite me again on Hanukkah.
But you know what? Today, that's right. The potatoes is always considered like a cheap.
It is
all El Shabbat. Okay. I'll go with that. Okay. All right, we move on. If the maligning the potatoes, we'll move on to Zion. Afilu bishloi hashvachis haniskaris lanu. Shloi shabbos as chasnos. What about the maids? You got a maid. And it's not shai chasnos. Shari oisin balkarcham. You're not friendly with them. You're forcing them to work. Afilu hachiyasur amloi shahoisa echa mimnei habayis. Kaboisha nevaya. We'll see soon. Mokogwe mehav samarubi yeshlahati. Interesting. Mehav samarubi can be makel on the shvachis. These are real slaves in the time of this time. Medina, ches.
What was the reason it said, well, even though there's no chasnus, but what?
Even though there's no chasnus, so it's not a friendly thing to eat with these people because they're being forced to work. Nevertheless, it's called the loy plug. Loy plug means that when Chazal made an isser, they didn't make a distinction. They asked the cooking of a guy. They didn't make a distinction between this type of guy at that time. Ches Medina, Avdagvidin Pashal Guy, Mahani Yimasech Mitzarche Yafia. Okay, this is, I guess the one area which there's a certain level of machlaikis regarding Bishul Akum. Pretty much what we have till now, the halachas are very clear. The application, people could argue potatoes are, not El Shulchan Malachim. There are no real machlaikis in the dinim of Bishul Akum. There are really two. One Lagabi Kasher and Kalim, which we'll get to much later. And the other is this. The question is, what works by Bishul Akum to make it Ois Bishul Akum? What kind of contribution of a Jew? We have a Afia, we're making, we throw in one piece of wood into the oven. So he says, Medina. Even though a pasak will be helps if you just do something. That's a cooler by bread. You have to be involved in the real cooking. Kagain, either. Shahafach vehigis by Yisrael. The Jew turned it over or stirred it. In a way that caused it to cook. Or a Jew actually placed it onto the fire in a place where he could cook. It's not enough he puts it in the oven where it can cook, he has to put it in the right spot. So the first sheet he brings is that the Jew has to actually put the food on the fire, or at least stir the food on the fire.
So according to this, the Jew turning on the fire is insufficient.
Right, it could be right. This is what we call Sfardi Bishalakum, Bishal Yisrael. The Sfardi Paskin, this is like this first Shita, that the food has to be placed, or at least stirred, by a Jew on the fire. It's not enough turning on the flame. And the Chacham Sadam brings the Ramah Shita, he says,
they have to do both. They have to have the fire, and you have to put it inside.
No. According to the Sfaradim, it doesn't matter who turned on the fire, as long as the Jew puts it on. Okay, it doesn't matter. Even according to us, I mean, if a guy turned it on, if a Jew puts it on, that's better. Akbam Neha Daichek, because this is difficult, we rely on the second sheet of the Sfriule, the Hu Adin Had Lokaseish, it's enough to turn on the fire. Or he fanned the flames, or stirred the flames. Interesting, it says even if he didn't intend to stir it, but he stirred it. Or he throws in some wood, mahani. Yes, the chatchila that this chitu should help to make it cook, and I'll explain that in a minute. Ubediyevet afilu loy hayol ein kayach limchais afilu emrak hidlik meishal Yisrael ashil shel kisim. Even if it's not a karav abishal, we can't be meicha. This is a third shita. So you have your three shitas. The first is the svarik bishal that you have to put it on the fire by a Jew. The second shita is that a Jew has to do something that makes it cook more quickly. And the third shita is that even throwing in a kisim is good enough. In the case of the Star K's innovation to do bishul akum by putting a light bulb into the oven, one of Rebelsky's tainis was that it doesn't help, only like the third shita. We pass like the middle shita, it has to be makarav habishul. Now you can argue scientifically it's makarav habishul. But at the time that the light bulb is there, which is before the fire, it's not Mekarev HaBishol, because it can't cook from the light bulb. So that was Rebelsky's complaint about the light bulb. Reb David Feinstein, though use now, I think the Starkei is not Samechan, because no one would use it. No one agrees with him. Right. Reb David Feinstein told me that the light bulb doesn't work because the whole idea of a Jew participating in Bishol Akum is Mishum Chasnus. Which means there has to be a sense that the Jew has to participate in the cooking. The light bulb, no guy thinks, oh, the Jew is helping in the cooking because of a light bulb. So they're not happy with it. Nafkamina between the two objections is Starkey's fallback position that, okay, a light bulb doesn't work, we'll put it in the Ner Tamid. Like you have here in the Ner Tamid. So the oven there, it's a little chamber. So we'll put in a gas line with a fire that'll burn all the time. So the objection that it's not perceived as a flame, it's just a light bulb, falls away. Rebelsky's objection that it's there beforehand and doesn't contribute to the cooking, that would stand. So, I don't know if the stockade does or doesn't do it, I'm not sure what they do, but this was the dispute. The question was, we fully back to the third shita, which we don't Pascal like as a practical matter. Third shita holds that throwing in a splinter of wood is adequate, even though it doesn't help the cooking.
Did the Yemen, do we hold like that, have some maruba?
Well, what's to have some maruba to eat some, I mean.
No. If he catered a whole thing.
You mean once it was cooked already?
I mean
after it was already all cooked?
Then
you're ready to serve.
Already, remember
you're ready to serve.
Williamsburg days.
Okay.
It was cooked. A guy made a mistake and did it. And also there was a pilot.
He says, b'di'evet.
The pilot shouldn't have either, frankly.
What?
The no. Pilot light heter is the third sheet, right? Third it's Hidluk may actually.
It's more than the third sheet.
No, that was how Rabelski saw title was, it's still the third sheet. The third sheet is the pilot light heter, which we try not to be samach on. There are sherem that are samach. I think, the Vat of Queens, I think, still relies. I may have changed in the last few years. The Vat of Queens, which is a very legitimate hechsher, they supervise, but they rely on the pilot light heter. They'll tell you that they do. Again, unless it changed recently. But anyway, I'm saying is, they are hechsher, they're relying the pilot light heter, which is not the lechat chaladika heter. The Chacham Sadim said the pilot light heter, b'dievet ein limchais. He doesn't say b'dievet you should eat it, he says you have to scream at somebody who's eating it, who's relying on it. So it's not an ideal. The other problem with the pilot light heter is that if you're in your house, occasionally a pilot light goes out, something overflows, it goes out. So if you have a mashgiach to be there, so he sees it goes out, he lights it. The whole purpose of the pilot light heter is they shouldn't need a mashgiach tamidi, right? It's expensive to have a mashgiach tamidi. So they want to rely on the pilot light heter. The problem with that is if the pilot light goes out, then the guy's just going to relight it. The pilot light heter is only a heter if the Jew lit it, not if the guy lit it. So sometimes people have the shaila in their house. They call me b'di'evet. They want to know. I tell them you have a pilot light. They say, yes. I say, who lit the pilot light? Serviceman who installed it, you know, like if a Jew didn't light it, then there's no pilot light heter. Many of the commercial stoves have a different pilot light than you and I are used to. We're accustomed to having a fire, usually a pilot light somewhere in the middle, and it connects. In the what? In the homes are electronic. Most of the commercial ovens are still not electronic, but they have the pilot light in the center of the burner. I don't know why it's that way. But they have, in the center, there's a burner. It's a larger burner in a commercial oven. And the pilot light is in the middle, or slightly off-center in the middle. So when you shut it off entirely, the light that remains is there. So there, you know, it's not the third sheet. It's the second sheet. Because there, you have fire, which is there, which you're really cooking on that fire. And the question is whether to rely on it. So I don't know. There was a decision by Kehila that we were not going to rely on that because the stores are not going to know this pilot light, that pilot light. So we don't rely on it, but technically it's a little better. It's really a fire. It's more than a pilot light.
So if you have a woman who turns a guy, who's a housekeeper, who turns on the fire and starts a meal cooking, you walk in and see what she did. You go over to the stove and you turn the fire up even higher. That's a second sheet.
If it's Makar Bishulai, then it's a second sheet. But you have to, it has to be not yet edible at the time you do it. If it's already edible, then you're too late. Or servable, I should say.